have these things in the night where you feel like you're like half awake and half asleep? It's like, you know, the Lord will just kind of drop this idea, and it's like, okay, but I'm too tired to deal with it right now. So thankfully, I didn't forget about it when I woke up for real, you know. But I want to, we're going to look at a bunch of different scriptures. So if you have some kind of a Bible thing, whether it's for a book or an app, we're going to, first one we're going to look at is Mark 5, verse 14. And here's your challenge for this, right? Your challenge is, I'm going to just read through these passages, and I want you to tell me what's the common thread in these passages, okay? So here's the first one, Mark 5, and it's 14 through 20. All right, and this is actually the back end of the story of the guy that had legion who Jesus delivered. Mark 5, 14 through 20. The guy who, you know, was delivered from the legion, and they went into the pigs, and the pigs went into the water, and every, you know, it was a big ruckus from all of that. So this is the back end of that story, starting in verse 14. It says, their herdsmen ran away and reported it in the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they became frightened. I mean, what? You know, this guy was the wackiest guy in the territory, you know, and he was doing all these crazy things. But when he gets delivered and he's in his right mind, then they became frightened. What the? What? I don't get that.
It sounds like the church I used to go to.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. We talked about that last week, right? There's some churches that haven't seen God's power for so long that when it shows up, they think it's the devil. I know. All right? So then verse 16 says, those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man and all about the swine, and they began to implore him to leave their region. Get out! I mean, jeez. Some thanks that is, right? So anyway, so verse 18, and as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was imploring him that he might accompany him. And he did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed. All right? That's story number one. Flip down a few chapters to Mark 10, starting in verse 17. And we'll look at another story. It says, as he, Jesus, was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to them, teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But at these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Okay? Now we're going to flip over to the book of Luke. You're going to just do some Bible gymnastics tonight. Luke chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 27. And it says, after that he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he left everything behind and got up and began to follow him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax collectors and other people who were reclining at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay? And now flip now a few more chapters away to Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. It says, soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Okay, flip over to Luke chapter 9. And verse 57. It says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And last but not least, go back to the book of Mark. I don't know why I did it in this order, but anyway, a book of Mark, and we're going to look at chapter 15 and verses 40 and 41. And this is after the crucifixion. It says, there were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and Joseph and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and minister to him. And there were many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. Okay? It's a lot of stories, huh? What's the common thread that you see in these stories? Anybody?
Following him.
Bueller? What?
Following Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. These are all stories of different people and their responses to Jesus. Okay? And how they looked at following Jesus. Right? And you see in these stories a lot of different responses, right? A lot of different ways of reacting to Jesus. There were some that he spoke directly to, others that spoke to him, some that couldn't handle it, right? And so here's the thing that I felt the Lord wanted us to discuss tonight, to kind of start a conversation, okay? The question is this. What does following Jesus look like to you? Okay. So I'll just sit down and let the rest of you talk. Seriously, I'm not joking. I'm not here to preach a message tonight. I'm here to throw some things out for us to consider concerning how we view this whole concept of following Jesus. What does it look like to you? Anybody want to start the ball rolling? Or are y'all just going to leave me hanging up there?
No, we're all just thinking.
I know, I'm just playing. Shut me down now.
I'll start it off.
Okay.
To me, and this is where I'm at now, I think what happened when Rob was singing 24/7, 365. I realized, because during that time I was pastoring, and there were Catholics that I was pastoring, and one of the girls came to me and said, "Oh, 24/7, 365 is lifestyle."
Yeah.
And so, in my walk with God, and that was like maybe five years ago. Now, subconsciously. Consciously, spirit, soul, body, feelings, emotions, thoughts, captivating every mindset
because if you don't captivate, see, the thoughts that you entertain is the thoughts that you would create. So I concentrate 24/7, 365 on God. And I catch myself getting caught up, going to heaven. I've experienced going to heaven regularly because I've disciplined myself. I put down my flesh. I put down thoughts. I put down things that are not of God, and thinking of things that are true, pure, and holy, and, you know, thinking of good things and not judging people, not speaking evil of people, you know, having the mindset of Christ. Wanting to become more like I used to pray 8 hours a day, no problem. Now I pray, I want you. That's all I pray. I want you. I want to be one with you. I want to be one with God. And I understand that, yeah, God uses me in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I understand my walk of love is not where He wants it to be. So my love walk now is changing. And I see God changing my love walk towards the body of Christ. Because a lot of times, when I was pastoring, I didn't want to feed the sheep. I wanted to barbecue them. And I had to repent because God took the anointing away from me. And I realized that He loves His sheep. And I realized that my love walk, and I see that also missing in the body of Christ. We have people prophesying and doing all kinds of stuff, but the love walk is lacking. You know, and it's a discipline of 24/7, 365, even while you're sleeping, because your brain is thinking while you're sleeping. And God visits you in the night seasons, and you have to learn like He did. He caught it, and He wrote it down.
What?
All right. Awesome. Somebody else, what does it look like for you to follow Jesus?
I see that hand.
I think for me, it's about relationship.
Okay.
For me, for many years, I was still caught up learning about the Lord, but not, I don't think it was getting to know Him directly and developing that relationship.
Sure.
Because I guess I had learned to do the church thing, to follow rules and regulations and do this and do that, but the relationship, I think, was missing there, and I hadn't even noticed. But I think in the last few years of my life, it's more about relationship. Getting to know Him, and then all the things will follow. The fruits of the Holy Spirit that's a byproduct of the relationship that I've been developing with Him.
So, can you give an example of what that looks like, that relationship that you have?
It's just being myself. It's just talking to God as if I talk to a friend. You know, it's not so much about, oh my gosh, Lord, you know, I did this today, oh my gosh. Oh my goodness, you know, it's just a relationship. It's just talking to my Father like a friend.
Yes.
This is who I am. I have all these flaws. I have this and that. Help me, you know. I can't be too focused on myself, because then I would think it's I have to do the work, but it's Him, through, you know, it's Him in me.
Yeah.
So, you know,
That's good. Let's be specific. You know, I love that, you know, what you're talking about, but let's try to be more specific as we can in terms of what does that look like, right? Because here's what we're learning. We're learning that just because we go to church doesn't mean we've accomplished anything.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge problem for Christians.
That's right.
Right? We think that just because we came here or anywhere really that we've really accomplished something, and not really. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to pick up from where my brother kind of is all over the place.
That's me.
I want to hit upon that love element, because I feel like that is so key.
and certainly lacking, you know, in the body of Christ, because that's what Jesus did. When he walked on this earth, he expressed love. And that's something that, you know, we want to emulate, you know, our brother, then that's what we need to do. We need to express love to one another. And what that should look like, in my opinion, of course, would be scriptural. You know, I can operate, or I can, you know, command healing out of love, you know, deliverance out of love. You know, whatever the need is, it's birthed out of love. And that's what I get when I think about, you know, what is Jesus, what does he look like, you know, and what can I do, what does that relationship look like? I also think that with those scriptures that you read, you know, the healings, the casting demons and things of that nature, you know, Jesus was not coming from a judgmental place. Okay, he was speaking life. He was out of love once again, and I think that that's a key element that, you know, the body of Christ can get. Certainly, you know, myself.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, in your own experience, what? Give me a specific example of what your relationship with him looks like. What is it that, you know, that you engage? How do you engage him? You know, in your following him.
Okay, in what aspect?
Put you right on the spot.
What's going on? Okay, well, you know, okay, so let's I'm talking about love, so let's deal with that element.
Yeah.
You know, so if I'm in a supermarket, okay, and, you know, I see that there's someone, you know, first of all, you know, we want to always ask the Lord for a deeper level of discernment. But you can tell if someone's struggling, if someone needs help. And whether it's, you know, in a physical or in a spiritual realm, everyone would agree with that. And so, you know, you take that step to love on that person. That's the term I use. But what that means is to step into, you know, let's say like their atmosphere. Hey, you know, how are you doing? You know what? I see you struggling. You look a little perplexed or whatever. And it opens up dialogue. And I really believe that's what Jesus did when he was here. That's how he had conversation. You know, we all like to talk about the woman, you know, at the well, you know, in the heat of the day because she was, you know, trying to get away from everyone else.
Right.
You know, but Jesus took a moment and spoke to her.
Yeah.
And by doing that, my goodness, you know, she like revolutionized an entire, you know, city.
Yeah.
Right? So did that answer your question?
That's awesome. No, because I think we should be real about what it looks like for each of us that wants to share. What does it look like for us to, you know, be following Jesus?
And so sometimes for me...
You already shared, bro.
And sometimes for me, it's hard to love.
No, really?
You know...
Anybody have a problem?
You know, sometimes it's really hard to love some people. and the dying to self.
Yeah.
Because it's not about you. You know, we get caught up into our own selves.
It's true.
You know, in our own emotions and what we feel for a person.
All right. Somebody else. Neely.
Okay. For me, you know, like everybody said, it's a relationship. And for me, it is a relationship, huh?
Use your volume.
Oh, I'm sorry. For me, it's a relationship, but it's more than just, you know, my telling God everything I want or need or want to have done or whatever. It's really trying to stay sensitive to his voice, his leading, his timing. Since he's been asking everybody for an example, I will not wait for you to ask me. I will tell you. Yesterday, I was at home and, you know, I'm crocheting a bedspread for my bed. So I'm sitting there crocheting and all of a sudden I just... And I had spent time in the morning studying the word and praying. And I was just like, just contemplating, sitting there crocheting and contemplating. And listen, I felt like the Lord told me, you know, you're going to get a call. And I just want you to follow through. I kept crocheting. Sure, and about 15 minutes later, phone rings. It's my neighbor upstairs. Now, this young man is an alcoholic. And he has a roommate. Very nice young man. The two young men, I would say they're in their late 20s, early 30s. And I, you know, he called me. He says, "Miss Newey, can you come upstairs?" And I was like, I was in my pajamas because, you know, when I'm home, I chill, okay? It's either sweats or pajamas. I do not get dressed. But I said, all right, and I threw a sweatshirt on, and I went upstairs, and we started talking, and God said to me, I just want you to listen, okay? So I sat there, and I said, what's up? He says, do you want a glass of wine? I said, sure, I'll take a glass of wine, and I, you know, I'm sitting there, and we're sharing this glass of wine. He's telling me, I just want to tell you that, you know what? Everybody always turns their back on me, but you're always nice to me. And you know what? You never not talk to me. You always talk to me. You always ask me how I'm doing. You always tell me that God loves me. You always tell me you're praying for me. He goes, I don't know what any of that means, but I just want you to know I like it. And I said, cool. And I said, cool. So in the meantime, I'm looking at the table, and I see, you know, an ounce of pot, and being an ex-pothead, I knew it right away, and I said, oh, wow, this dude buys pot by the ounce now. I know back in the day when I bought pot, it was a lot cheaper than today. So I said, boy, it's throwing away big money. Huh? Listen, I mean, I've been straight for over 30 years, so, you know, back in the day, $25 could get you an ounce. I know $25 don't buy you no ounce today. So I'm like saying, boy, this boy's throwing away big money, and I'm sitting there with it. I could see it was like an ounce of pot, and he had his pipe right next to it. And so I didn't say nothing, so I just looked at it. I said, so what's up, what's the deal, you know? And I just pointed to it. And he goes, well, you see, because, you know, you told me that I shouldn't be drinking, and you told me, because I'm always trying to get him to go into rehab. But anyway, I was like, he says, well, so I figured this will take the place of it. I said, well, you don't want anything to take the place of it, and I'm trying to talk to him. But the Lord again just told me, just listen. Just listen, just listen. And this young man sat there, literally had me sitting there while I nursed this one cup of wine. He went on and on and on to just share everything, his dreams, his visions, you know. He had to move his business. He had a business. He was renting space in downtown Rahway off Main Street, and he had to move it to his home. And, you know, he has all these big clients, but, you know, they don't even know that he has, you know, that he's had to move his office because he meets them there. And it's like he's going through all this struggle. And I'm telling you, as clear as a bell, I wanted to say so much. There was so much that Millie wanted to say.
Yeah, come on.
But the Lord said to me, just remind him that I love him and I'm here. Yeah. And I did. I reminded him of God's love. I reminded him that God's there whenever he's ready. And so he, you know, some other people came into the house, so the conversation changed. He took me into his office to show me the office and to, you know, ask my help on some things. And so I was like, sure, I'll gladly help you. I don't have a problem. You know, I'm home these days. I said, I'll help you out. And all of a sudden we come back and we're sitting in the living room now. It's like these two other people I don't know. And, you know, friends of theirs, and his roommate, his brother's girlfriend, and himself. And all of a sudden, he comes out of nowhere. He goes, Miss Millie, you know what I think? I think we need to have a Bible study here. What do you think?
Yeah, look at that.
And I said, well, you know, it can be arranged.
Come on. That's awesome. So let me ask you this. Why do you think God said to you, shut your mouth and listen?
Because if I would have started talking, he wouldn't have been able to share everything.
But what was the goal of that?
I had no idea.
Come on, somebody. What was the goal behind God telling her, just listen?
God was throwing the man.
Right? But what's the goal? The goal
to get it saved
is building relationships.
Yes. Good.
See? Mm-hmm. People, if they don't think that you're really hearing them,
that's right,
that you're really listening to what's going on in their life. In other words, if you always come at people with an agenda,
that's right, they run away.
Yeah, she became a safe person.
Huh?
She became a safe place for him.
Yeah, you became a safe place for him because you were willing to just listen. See, this is, I mean, this is one of the mindset things that God's breaking us of, is this idea that every person that comes
into our sphere for whatever reason, that we've got to preach to them,
right.
Share the gospel, yeah. Get them to pray the prayer,
yes.
You know, and yeah, of course that's an awesome goal, but no, you got to build relationship with people,
mm-hmm.
Especially in today's society when there's so many other things going on out there trying to draw people in different directions, right? So that's an awesome example.
He cracked me up because, you know, he was talking, you know, he smokes a lot. He smokes not only pot, but he smokes a lot of cigarettes. And so he goes, Miss Millie, do you understand how hard it is to give up cigarettes? I got to give up cigarettes. And I said, well, yes, I do, because, you know, years ago, I used to smoke 3 packs a day.
Ooh.
His eyes got like this big, and he goes, you smoke? I said, yeah, I used to smoke 3 packs a day. He says, how'd you stop? And so, perfect opportunity, I said. And I told him the truth. Yeah. And I didn't make it super spiritual. I didn't make it any. I said, you know what? I had a date. I went to this church with a friend of mine, and the preacher that happened to be a guest speaker, he spoke, and he talked about habits, and he said, if you had a habit, come on up, and whatever it is, if you dare, leave it at the count at the altar, and he says, and we'll pray, and God will take care of it. I said, well, I accepted that. I went up to the altar, put the cigarettes on the altar, and I never picked up a cigarette again. He goes, that really happened? I go, that really happened. He goes, you didn't go through nothing? I said, I didn't go through nothing. And that's when he turned around, he said, we need to have, maybe we should have a Bible study.
That's cool.
Right.
Wow.
And you know that statement is so true. The building relationships.
Yeah.
You know, the gangs call me Papa.
Yeah. Sure.
They call me Papa.
Yeah. That's a good thing. We got time for one more person to share. What does it look like for you to follow Jesus? There you go. The winner.
You're in family.
We love you. This is a safe place. If we laugh, we'll be laughing with you.
Okay. Well, to me, to follow Jesus is friendship.
Okay.
Because I happen to live by myself, so I'm always doing stuff by myself. And in the house, you know, like if something funny happens, that I tripped or whatever, I'm like, my Lord, did you see that? And it's like I'm laughing with him.
Yeah.
Or I'm in the car.
I do the same thing, so we're good.
I'm listening to a song, and it's a love song, and I'm like, Lord, that's for you. I'm like, I dedicate that to you. Mm. You know, so it's like, it's just this love connection that's happening.
Amen.
And it's really awesome because I could never express myself like that with a man before. But now he's there. So I'm like, oh, I love you, I love you. And you just have like these moments where like, close your eyes and, you know,
and
I'm going to hug you and I'm going to kiss on you and you're not going to say no. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you can be clingy with him. It's okay. So.
Clingy with Jesus.
Yeah,
I never thought of that. That's awesome.
And like, you know, it makes you feel so good that when you meet people or you talk to people, that just comes up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it just spreads.
Yeah.
And people feel that, and they're attracted to it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's not me, it's Jesus in you. So.
Yeah, but it's because you've learned how to make it a natural part of who you are. See, that's awesome. And that's how it should be, right? I can't tell you the number of times I have been faced with some project, you know, in my house where I had to fix something or change something. I'm like, all right, Lord, you gotta help me out here. Because I only know about this much, you know. And I'm either going to kill myself or get it right. So you got to help me. And he does. You know, I mean, it's just simple little practical things like that where you include him in your daily routine.
Oh, my God, that is so true. Especially when you want to go shopping and you only got a certain amount of money and you don't know where to go to buy what you want.
Yeah.
Like, I needed to buy, you know, something I was looking for, and it's not seasonal, okay? I was looking for a cookie tin.
Really?
They don't sell cookie tins except during Christmas.
I didn't think they still sold cookie tins at all.
Yeah, well, empty ones for you to fill, not full ones.
But
I wanted to find these cookie tins, and I was like, I got to find a cookie tin. And I said, so I just sat in my car, and I said, okay, Lord, we're going shopping. where am I going and where can I find these cooking
right.
tins?
Good.
And he told me exactly where to go. And God knows my budget.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, I have no income at
just
this day.
Just for the moment. You're,
just for this moment, I'm kind of tight because, you know, my money will be here. But, you know, just for this moment, I'm a little tight. So Lord told me exactly where to go. I was able to buy four tins, and I was able to bring them home for $1 a piece. So I was a happy girl.
Yeah.
I was a happy girl.
Come on.
Yeah. And then, of course, all the way home, I said, you're so awesome. You're so cool. I love you.
Jesus the bargain hunter. I love it. That's awesome. All right. I'm gonna throw two questions at you. And this is basically for any of you that want to kind of continue with this conversation. Because I really believe that the Lord is trying to help us all shift into the kind of relationship with Him that He wants. Right? We have our ideas. We have, you know, some of our ideas have been shaped and influenced by religion, by other things that people have said. And I feel like He wants to be the one that says, this is what I'm after. Okay? And so a lot of these that we've heard tonight are really good examples of what we can expect or what we can look for. So here's what I want you to think about, if you want to, and maybe we'll pick this up next week and continue the conversation. What would you like your relationship with the Lord to look like? What would you like following Jesus to look like? If it's not all that you think it should be or would like it to be, well, what would you like it to look like? Okay, that's number one. Number two follows on after that. What needs to change so that you can see what you'd like it to look like actually happen? Does that make sense? So you start thinking about, okay, what would I really like it to be? What would I like it to look like? And in order for that to happen, what needs to change, right? And so if we think a little bit about that and, you know, dialogue with the Lord about it and stuff, you could also share with people that you know, you're connected to and just, you know, have some conversation and let's see where the Lord wants to take us in this so that we don't continue to be people who simply believe coming to a place like this is enough. All right, that this is some accomplishment on our part that, no. You know, we went to church. let's choose to be the church 24/7, 365. What do you say, brother?
Yes.
Come on. Awesome.